Live from the 1-800-NO-CUFFS Broadcast Center. This is AM 570 KLAC Los Angeles. This is LA's home for the Dodgers.
Somehow makes the play.
And you're listening to Dodger Talk.
He bobbles it, falls face first, somehow picks it up, throws behind his back with his face in the dirt, throw to first base to Gonzalez and makes the play.
Call 866-987-2570 and talk to your host, David Massey.
I am finally here. Live at Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona. David Vassay with you until 8 o'clock tonight on Nissan Dodger Talk. Phone lines are open, taking phone calls, even though I am in the desert. Things work here, so we can take phone calls. 866-987-2570. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. My first day out here at Camelback Ranch was a great one. Great to see everybody. A lot of players I missed hanging out with and taking jabs from, I guess, in some ways, and having some kind of sparring session, verbal sparring sessions with them. Also, good to see the first guy. And when I walked into the facility here at Camelback Ranch, the 1988 Cy Young Award winner and World Series MVP, Oral Hershiser, in uniform. When I walked in, he came into the office to do a phone interview and had some fun with him while he was doing that interview. So it was a good first day out here at Camelback Ranch. And as I walked into the facility tonight to get ready for Dodger Talk about an hour ago when I walked into the facility, Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi still here in the building. And these guys, along with the coaching staff, get here really early. So not only do they show up at 5 in the morning, but they don't leave here until about 8 o'clock local time here in Glendale, Arizona, still an hour ahead from Los Angeles. And it was good to see everybody out here, including Clayton Kershaw. And we'll get to what I saw and heard from Kershaw today, but want to let you know that coming up in our next segment, I finally got to meet one of the newest Dodgers, Sergio Romo, and he spent about 10-15 minutes with me earlier today, so we'll share that conversation with you in our next segment. So Sergio Romo will be on the show tonight, and later on in the show, at the bottom of the hour, we'll let you hear what Manager of the Year Dave Roberts had to say about Hyunjin Ryu and Franklin Gutierrez, and what the Dodgers plan for him and how the Dodgers are better equipped this year to face left-handed pitching. Last year, the Dodgers, as you may or may not know, were last in every, I guess, major category against left-handed pitchers last year. Not just left-handed starters, but lefty pitchers. Last in batting average, last in on-base percentage, and last in slugging percentage. The Dodgers feel with the acquisition of a guy like Franklin Gutierrez, with Scott Van Slyke being healthier, and also Justin Turner, Adrian Gonzalez, those type of guys bouncing back, and maybe, hopefully, a productive Yasiel Puig, they'll be much better against left-handed pitching. So we'll get into all of that later on in the show. But first, I had a chance to see the Dodgers ace, the man that will be making another opening day start this season for the seventh straight year, tying Don Sutton for the Dodger record of doing that. Sutton did it for the Dodgers from 1972 until 1978. And when I first was in the clubhouse, Kershaw walks in and he says, "Hey, Dave, you're about 5 days late." Obviously, as we've talked about on the show, I always tell Kershaw I don't dabble with pitchers and catchers. I just don't want to see him throw to a catcher. And I want to be here when things happen. And he told me, well, I did do more than just play catch. I had two bullpen sessions. And I said, congratulations. I'm here to see you throw against live hitters. And that's exactly what Kershaw did. He faced live hitters for about two innings. He faced minor league hitters plus Rob Segedin. And he was relentless against Segedin, is the best way to put it. Segedin was the second batter he faced in that live session, and he struck him out looking on three pitches. I think he threw him a breaking ball on strike two. So Kershaw was really good today, and here's what he told us after that and why it's necessary to go through this exercise of throwing to live hitters before he makes his first spring start.
Yeah, I mean, this day is always not the most fun because it's about as low as adrenaline as you can, but you have to try and be competitive. So try and create it as best you can. Overall, it went okay, so it's good. And I got it out of the way now, so I can actually pitch in a real game next time, which is good.
So all signs are pointing to Kershaw not only making his seventh opening day start for the Dodgers in the regular season on April 3rd against the Padres at Dodger Stadium. Also, it's pointing to him making the first start of the Cactus League for the Dodgers, which is this Saturday against the Chicago White Sox right here at Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona. It can be heard right here on Dodgers Radio, AM 570 LA Sports. Dodgers on Deck will begin at 11:30, first pitch at noon. Also, too, on Sunday, the Dodgers will be facing the Milwaukee Brewers, and you could hear that game right here on Dodgers Radio as well. Same times, Dodgers on Deck at 11:30, first pitch at noon. So all things are good. It was good to see Kershaw come out of that live session healthy, feeling good, feeling positive. Obviously, the Dodgers trainers, doctors checked on him after he was done, just making sure he was okay, and everything seems to be okay with him at this point in time of the spring. But like I said, keeping my fingers crossed, as are everybody that is involved with the Dodgers, that his back holds up. And it looks like at this point in time, it is. And think about this too. How remarkable what Kershaw is doing. Because last year, as Andrew Friedman said, after the NLCS was over, he doesn't know if any other pitcher would have been able to come back from that back injury after missing 2.5 months. And that back injury is a herniated disc. You could say it's a mild herniated disc. You could just say it's a herniated disc. Anybody that's had a herniated disc knows, mild or not, it's painful. And Kershaw said he didn't have any shooting pain down his leg. We'll take him at his word, but usually when you do have a herniated disc, you do have that shooting pain, but he did not, and I guess that was part of the reason why he was able to push through and recover and rejoin the Dodgers. But I find it remarkable not only what he did last year, including coming out of the bullpen in game five of the NLDS, but also taking an offseason, coming back and being ready day one of spring training, and not only ready, but sharp, and no ill effects, any signs of residue from that back injury. So I think we take it for granted. This is another instance where when you're around a guy and you watch a guy every day and expect things from him and he comes through and delivers, you take it for granted. And I just felt that it is remarkable what Kershaw has done for the Dodgers the last year, considering the seriousness of that back injury. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Now, today was the final day that full squad position players had to report here to Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona. Tomorrow will be the first full squad workout for the Dodgers, but on the backfields, field three, there were some regulars already taking batting practice, already doing some conditioning drills on the bases. Andre Ethier, Chase Utley, Justin Turner, Jock Peterson, Yasiel Puig, among the players, Logan Forsythe, etc., that were doing that work today for the full squad. And tomorrow, officially, the entire roster that's here in camp will assemble for their first full squad workout. And, you know, seeing the ball come off the bat of Jock Peterson, it looked really good. Not only did it look good, it sounded good. When you're around BP at before a Dodger game, I think you can tell when a player hits the ball a different way than others. And Jock Peterson today at least was doing that. Andre Ethier looked healthy. There are no restrictions on him after breaking his leg in spring training. Alex Wood also threw the hitters today. Kershaw would throw an inning, sit down. Alex Wood would come in, throw an inning, sit down, and they exchanged that for four innings. Each pitcher threw two, and actually each pitcher was very sharp. So it was a good day for the Dodgers all around, and I think they're very happy with the group they've assembled. I actually asked Andrew Friedman, how how good does he feel in this camp, knowing that he has all this talent, and he just seemed a little bit more relaxed, and I guess cautiously relaxed, because he has a lot of talent on this roster. And I joked also with Dave Roberts whether or not the biggest concern on his mind is whether or not his grapes at the Red Stitch Vineyard up there in Northern California were drenched by the rain, since he has a loaded roster. And he said, by the way, in case you're concerned, the grapes, if they get a little drenched by the rain earlier in the season, not a big deal. So I guess that's a good sign for the Red Stitch wine fans out there. And if you want to check out Dave Roberts' wine, you could go to redstitch.com. We're going to take a quick time out here on Nissan Dodger Talk. When we come back, your phone calls. I'm here. I'm at Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona. If you have any questions, I'll answer them. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Also, you'll hear from the newest Dodger, Sergio Romo, next on AM 570 LA Sports. David Bassay live at Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona, taking your phone calls here on Nissan Dodger Talk at 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Coming up in just a moment, you'll hear my conversation from earlier today with new Dodger reliever Sergio Romo. And coming up at the bottom of the hour, you'll hear from manager Dave Roberts on what he thinks from what he saw from Hyun-Jin Ryu yesterday, and also how the Dodgers, he plans to have a more balanced lineup against righties and lefties. So you'll hear from the manager of the year. We should not forget that either. He is the reigning National League Manager of the Year. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Just another reminder, this Saturday is the Dodgers' first Cactus League game, and you'll hear that right here on Dodgers Radio, AM 570 LA Sports, beginning at 11:30 with Dodgers on deck, first pitch at 12:05. Let's go out to Arcadia. Dan, you're on Nissan Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Dan.
Hi, David. I was wondering whether you believe Austin Barnes will hit at least 200 this year with more bats than he got last year.
Wow. Well, I would hope so, Dan. And I would not count on Austin hitting or having too many more at-bats than he did last year. Obviously, he will have more, but the lion's share of the catching will go to Yasmani Grandal. I think the days you will see Austin are those Sunday day games and some of those getaway day games, because Yasmani Grandal is the guy the Dodgers want to have in there day in and day out. And he actually told me during the offseason he worked with former Dodger hitting coach Jeff Pentland to be a better right-handed hitter. Remember last year, no power from the right side for Grandal. All his power came from the left side, so he worked on being better from the right side. And the Dodgers, going back to them feeling they're a better team, a better, well-balanced team against lefties, that includes Yasmani Grandal being better from the right side, because lefty or righty, Grandal will be there for the majority of the time. Plus, too, I should mention, too, Dan, the backup catcher job is not Austin Barnes. Yes, the Dodgers at this point in time envision that happening, but they have a couple of guys that are going to push Austin for time back there, including veteran Bobby Wilson, who had been with the Angels and is a very good game caller and defensive catcher. So he is a non-roster invitee that may push Austin Barnes. He can't hit very well, Bobby, but he's everything that you want defensively from a catcher. Also, too, young Kyle Farmer. This is his opportunity to really leave a lasting impression on Dave Roberts, Andrew Friedman, and Farhan Zaidi, because he is next in line. If Barnes gets hurt, and for whatever reason Bobby Wilson is not in the organization, Kyle Farmer is going to be your backup catcher. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Let's go out to the 405. Tim, you're on Dodger Talk.
Hey, David, thank you for great coverage of the Dodgers.
Oh, thank you.
I wanted to ask what your opinion of Jock Peterson's swing is. I know he had one of the highest improvements in contact rate from his rookie year to his second year, and if you see any different things mechanically with his swing going forward.
Okay, Tim, thanks for the phone call. Well, it's early, and I just saw him on the backfields there, but the way the ball was coming off his bat was impressive. And when he was in studio with us a couple of weeks ago, he did say he continued to do some tweaks with his swing and the mechanics of his swing to be even better. Year three is usually a big year for guys in the major leagues. It's usually a breakout year if they got something. And last year was a great improvement, like you mentioned, Tim, for Jock Peterson. 25 home runs, more contact rate than he had as a rookie, a higher OPS than he had as a rookie. So the Dodgers want to continue to see improvement in him. And I know he's primed for a big year in year three of his career. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. Had a chance to catch up with the newest Dodger reliever, Sergio Romo. I know fans in Los Angeles are very excited to see Sergio at Dodger Stadium. And as I was getting ready to start the interview, Sergio had a visitor next to his locker, and that was Dodger top outfield prospect Alex Verdugo, who is a teammate of Sergio's on Team Mexico.
Shout out to the little bro right there, Alex Verdugo. Him and I, you know, we got a good relationship going already. You know, he's been one of the guys who, he's one of those guys that, was able to accept me, you know, from the jump. We got a chance to play, on the same team with Team Mexico out in Japan. And, relationship, you know, we just kind of kicked it off from there. You know, good kid. You know, there's a lot of other good kids around here too. You know, younger guys who are up and coming and, with a lot of talent. You know, I've heard a lot about them, and now I get to be around them a little more to see it firsthand.
I saw some of the first videos of you being here in the clubhouse. Julio Urias, it seems like, is one of your guys as well.
Yeah, definitely. I've known him for a couple of years now, or, you know, 3-4 years now, to be honest. You know, we've had an opportunity to hang out in Mexico and you know, see what he's made up a little bit, you know, see why, you know, see what the buzz is about, you know. But he's a good kid also, you know, willing to learn, willing to just improve, you know. Kid's up and coming for a reason. He's got a lot of talent, you know, got a lot of skill, and the more he can find himself, you know, you can only really expect some really positive things out of that kid. And plus, you know, being raza, you know, being Mexicano like me, you know, and you know, being Mexicano a lot like him, and it's pretty cool. You know, there's a lot of paisanos around here.
Yeah, I know a lot of people think I am too, but I'm not. I'm half Italian, half Persian, just so you know, to get that straight, man, because I know a lot of people think that mixes into a Mexican, a paisano.
No, I hear you on that. The thing is, you know, there ain't too many Mexicans with your height, you know, so I can believe you on that one. But all in all, you know, to each their own, you know, I respect everybody for who they are and what they bring to the table. You know what I'm saying? Consistency is one of those things, you know, outside of... you know, consistency is one of the things that I respect most in life. So if you know what you're going to get, know what you're dealing with every day, you know, you can learn to accept it. So, and that's earning respect in its own right.
So did I pronounce Julio's last name the right way? I'm always struggling. One day it's Urias, one day it's Urias. I'm just always trying, Serge.
No, you got it. He's got the accent on the I, so it's Urias, you know. So, you definitely got it. You got it on spot on this time.
The Dodgers lost one of their key members of their bullpen as far as somebody like you that was very inclusive in J.P. Howell. Do you think you could be that guy for this team as well as some of the younger relief pitchers?
I can't really compare myself to anybody else. You know what I'm saying? I know personality-wise, you know, I may, you know, remind somebody else. With all respect to JP, you know, I've got a chance to, you know, be around him a little bit, you know, in the past, and get to know him a little bit. But, you know, good guy, you know, and if I could just come in here and contribute to, you know, a positive already winning cause without me, you know, that's really something that I'd like to do. You know, there's a lot of young guys here, a lot of young, talented guys, and if I could just show them what it's like to be consistent in regards to preparation and mentality, you know, and to be ready when their name is called, you know, that's really all I want to be, you know, show them how to compete a little bit, not that they need that help, you know, because they already got a lot of skill, a lot of talent, you know, they already go out there and they give it their all, but, you know, there's certain things, you know, that we do individually that separate ourselves, and I can't sit there and say that I think that I'm better than them in any right, because I know that I'm not. The fact that, you know, I know myself a little bit more, what I can and cannot do, and, you know, certain situations that I've been in that, you know, they may have not now, they may have not gotten the opportunity to be in yet, and I do mean the yet part. You know, I just want to be a good example for them to just what it's like to be ready, you know, how to prepare and be ready and to be myself on a, you know, be themselves on a consistent basis. You know, consistency, again, is one of the things that's respected most in this world, I feel, in my opinion. So if I can just show them, you know, find a way to be a good example to them on how to be more consistent in their own rights and being themselves, I think I can be a positive influence here. You know, this team is already, they're already a winner without me, you know, and the fact that they believe that I can contribute to that winning cause, you know, that it makes me feel good, you know. So I definitely just want to try my best to be ready all the time and to be that positive influence.
Who was that guy for you when you were coming up? Because it doesn't just happen. So you have to pay it forward. So who are you paying it forward from?
You're right. You guys got like Javi Lopez, Jeremy Affeldt, Matt Cain. You know, guys that were ready and rocking, you know. You can even go back to my first couple of years when you had, like, Bob Howie. You know, they were always ready when their names got called. You know, they were always prepared. And, they have the right perception on, you know, what it's like to be a professional, a big leaguer, and let alone, you know, a good teammate and a good person. So I'm, you know, very thankful to say that I've had some solid examples ahead of me, you know, and I do owe them a lot, you know. And I do give them a lot of credit, you know, for the growth, you know, the ways that I've, you know, adjusted and become the person that I am up to this point. You know, they've helped me out a lot. You know, Howie big brothered me a lot, and I'm thankful for that. I let him know that the other day, you know, that I was just thankful for his teachings and his ways, just to be a consistent human being first off, you know, follow the Lord and the good stuff with Jeremy. You know, Jeremy was one of those guys who, you know, was always in there and, you know, preaching the goodness and the positiveness of the world, and you know, I'm thankful for those guys. So, you know, as a tribute to them, you know, I'd like to keep it going. You know, I'd like to pass their word on, you know, because it definitely wasn't mine first, you know. So I do give them a lot of credit for, you know, being where I'm at now.
How do you balance all of that with the fun? Because there's kind of a fine line. You like to have fun, but you are very prepared and very fierce on the mound. So how do you balance that, and how do you teach that to others to be able to balance?
Well, I mean, there's a time and a place, you know, for everything. You know, again, to each their own. You know, we all have our own ways to be ourselves. And you know, I feel like I'm a fun, loose guy, you know, happy-go-lucky. You know, I'm very thankful for all the blessings that I have. So it's not easy, you know, it's not hard, I should say, to be, you know, happy and free. You know, there's time and a place for that, you know, for them to, certain times when you got to get in the gym, you got to, you know, got to do, you know, your work and your bullpens and your dry drills and whatnot, you know, when we're running and we're preparing ourselves, you know, doing video and all the good stuff. You know, those are times where you got to pay attention. You know, the game, you know, the game's going on. You know, you don't just got to pay attention to what you're doing in your own situations or the situations that you typically get put in. You got to pay attention to everything from the beginning to the end, you know. So it's more just the mental approach to all this is really the difference, you know, between myself and some of these guys. You know, I know who I am, you know, so if they can find themselves, you know, they'll definitely figure it out, you know, when and where. You know, it's a good time to be, you know, fun and be silly and whatnot, but also, you know, when to be serious, you know, to have control of that switch, you know, that when your name is called, it's game on, you know. So a lot of these guys, they already have that competitive nature about themselves, so it's just all about challenging that and figuring out what it is that makes, you know, each one of us tick individually.
Before I let you go, I got to tell you this, you know, going up to AT&T Park, when you used to come into the games, that whole, like, ceremony, when you used to come to the mound, being from L.A., that was the most annoying thing, considering the way you pitched. Is that coming with you to L.A., and can we duplicate that to annoy other teams?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm bringing myself to L.A., you know. I'm thankful for the opportunity, to, you know, to put on this jersey with my last name on it, got a locker with my name on it, you know, and I just want to bring that competitive fire, you know, that passion for the game, you know, and share that happiness that I have, you know, to live this blessed life that I've been blessed with, you know, that I, you know, that I have, and I'll be bringing the song over. I'll be bringing my routine. I'll be bringing it all over. You know,
same song.
Yeah, definitely. I'm bringing Ed Matrone over. Right. You know, and
maybe we could get a boxing video, like on the streets of L.A., like you had in San Francisco.
Maybe. You know, I was a kid. You know, I boxed when I was a kid, and you know, I have to show them, you know, that side of me too. Yeah, I've already talked to a couple of the PR guys and you know, the scoreboard guys, and they said they have a couple ideas for me that they should be up to par, at least with the one I had in San Francisco.
Wait, hold up. You said you boxed when you were younger. Yeah. You know, we got a fighter at the other end of that clubhouse there that thinks he's a big sparring guy, Adrian Gonzalez, Team Mexico. You think maybe next off season you guys get a little Rocky versus Apollo friendly exhibition?
Well, considering his size and his stature, it'd be more like Dolph Lundgren, or was it Ivan Drago versus Rocky?
Don't pretend like you don't know his name. Come on.
No, I'm saying, like, I called out the actor instead of the character. No, but the size difference. You know, he'd be more like Ivan Drago, and I'd be like Rocky. But Rocky wins at the end, so we'll kind of let it be at that. But he's more more fresh and in tune with the skills now. It's been a while. I was, you know, 10, 11, and 12 years old when I did that, you know, so a little over 20 years when that, you know, in that department. But all in all, you know, I'm just thankful that I get an opportunity to show, you know, everybody who I am, and I'm getting that chance here, and they seem to be very accepting of that, and I'm thankful for that, you know, spot at the table, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's really what matters a lot, and I get to be around my family a lot more, so I'm definitely excited to for this new chapter in my life and my career, and I really only, you know, hoping for the best, and I'm expecting the best, you know, the most positive outcomes, because I'm ready, you know, mentally and physically, I'm ready for this, you know. I'm not afraid of, you know, I'm not afraid of change, even though I'm not a big fan of change, I'm not afraid of it, you know, so I'm excited for this chance.
Well, the fans of Los Angeles are excited to see you at Dodger Stadium. They are ready. They are ready for Sergio Romo.
That's what's up. You know, I'm thankful for that. You know, they've always been, you know, very accepting of me when I go there, the way they receive me every time I go. I mean, they do let me know that I was wearing the opposing jersey, but they were still there, you know, especially the Mexican following, you know, so I'm excited, you know, to take my, you know, my little man show over there, you know, and try to show them who I am. So I'm thankful for the way things have gone up to this point. You know, I can't really express that enough, you know, the way a lot of these guys have accepted me and, you know, and show me respects that they feel that I've deserved. And I'm sitting over here just trying to, you know, show them, you know, that I, you know, what is it? And, you know, I just want to earn that respect. Yeah. Just really want to earn their respect, you know, as being an everyday teammate and everyday guy in their life now. So it's fun for me. Like I said, I'm not afraid of the challenge. You know, I'm not afraid of the change. So let's go.
Yeah. Thanks, Serge.
That's what's up, boss.
All right. Sergio Romo. Yeah, that's what's up, boss. That's the way he ends the interviews. I like that. That's right. Who's boss, Sergio? That's me, Vesey. Yeah, right. Anyway, I think that was a pretty good introduction to the newest Dodger reliever, Sergio Romo, and that wasn't an act. That's him. I mean, this guy loves being around the clubhouse, loves baseball, and loves wearing Dodger blue. After we were done with the interview, he did what he's done a couple of times already in spring training and say, I can't believe I'm in Dodger blue and just rubbing that jersey. So there is no residue of that San Francisco orange and black Giant uniform. The one thing that he still carries with him is those three World Series rings and what it took and what it means to be a champion. And that's part of the reason why I believe he's going to be successful with the Dodgers. Not only those rings, but what goes into winning those rings and what goes into being a championship closer, a guy that's been on the mound for the final out of a World Series. He's not scared. He's got a lot of nerve to him where he is not shaken by the moment. He is a guy that wants the ball in big moments. And I was actually told by one of my sources with the Giants last year, when they were struggling to find a closer and to close games out, Sergio Romo was basically begging Bruce Bochy to allow him to close games, and Bochy would not allow him to do it. So this guy wants the ball in the biggest situations, and that wasn't just 5 or 6 years ago. That was last year, and I think that's part of the reason why the Dodgers wanted him, and also another reason, and just an addition to what he's going to bring on the mound for the Dodgers, is what you just heard, his personality. Very inclusive, a guy that wants to mentor every young player, not just pitchers, but position players as well, if they're open to it. He's a guy that I believe will not fill the shoes, because he said he can't follow a guy like J.P. Howell, but I think in the same vein will be that guy in that bullpen to keep things loose and to give guys confidence. So Sergio Romo is going to be a big addition to the Dodgers this season and hopefully get some key outs in the eighth inning to get the ball to Kenley Jansen. When we continue here on Nissan Dodger Talk live from Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona, we will take more of your phone calls at 866-987-2570, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. I know there's some Dodger fans out there that were very skeptical about the signing of Romo. After you hear him, has your mind been changed? Plus, we'll hear from Dodger manager Dave Roberts on what he saw from Hyunjin Ryu yesterday and what Franklin Gutierrez will bring to the Dodgers and the new balanced lineup, according to Dave Roberts. That's next with David Vassay on Nissan Dodger Talk live from Glendale, Arizona on AM570 LA Sports. This is Nissan Dodger Talk. David Vassay live at Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona, where the Dodgers
full squad has reported. They will have their first full squad workout tomorrow here in Glendale, California. We are taking Glendale, California, Glendale, Arizona. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Thanks again to Sergio Romo for taking time out for me earlier today. He's a great guy and going to be an infectious personality in the Dodger clubhouse, and hopefully can get some key outs for the Dodgers in the seventh and eighth inning, because Dave Roberts said last week, you're going to see a lot of Romo in that eighth inning. But at this stage of his career, he's not a guy that is excellent against righties and lefties. He's really good against righties. That slider is very tough to hit from the right side. Lefties, though, did do a little bit more damage against him last year than they have in years past. So I think when you hear Dave Roberts say you're going to see a lot of Sergio in the eighth inning, matchups are going to dictate that, and you may see one of the many lefties the Dodgers have in their bullpen to face a lefty and then bring in Romo to face the righties. And speaking of the Dodger bullpen and how it relates to the Dodger bench, it's very interesting. And some guys that have been used to being on a major league roster the last few years may have some hurt feelings if they don't perform in spring training. We'll get to that in just a moment. But first, want to give you an update on Hyunjin Ryu. If you remember, about 3 weeks ago, a week before pitchers and catchers were going to report to Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona, about a week and a half, 2 weeks before that, Hyunjin Ryu actually told a Korean news agency that he had thrown three bullpen sessions in Japan pain-free. Now, that's a big deal, because he was not pain-free at any point last year, and maybe the pain tolerance isn't as high as some other players. So when he says he's pain-free, that means he was pain-free and throwing very good bullpens in Japan. When we had Rick Honeycutt on the show a couple of weeks ago, and I asked him about that, he said he did see the video and was encouraged by what he saw. Now, yesterday, Hyunjin Ryu here at Camelback Ranch threw to live hitters for the first time since he barely made that start last year. And Dave Roberts said he was very encouraged from what he saw. And even better news today, Hyunjin Ryu did not have any pain, which is always the biggest test when a pitcher's coming back from an injury. And Ryu is coming back not only from shoulder surgery, but also elbow surgery. So here's what the Dodger manager had to say earlier this afternoon about his Korean lefty.
They both, I think Ryu still got a smile on his face from how well he threw. And that was exciting. And he said he feels good today. I saw good extension. I saw repeatable delivery, and the change, the secondaries were good, and the fastball command, the fastball had life. So, you know, for me, the first time I saw him this early in camp, very encouraging.
And that was manager of the year in the National League, Dave Roberts, who sounded very positive from what he saw from Hyunjin Ryu. Now, when you look at the Dodger rotation, you have Kershaw, you have Hill, you have Maeda. I believe you're going to have Kazmir as either your fourth or fifth starter coming out of spring. The reason why I say fourth or fifth starter is because Julio Urias may be held back for extended spring training. Dave Roberts has alluded to that fact going way back to the Dodger caravan about a month ago, that the Dodgers want to maximize his innings and have those innings available, not only towards the end of the regular season, but also hopefully deep into the playoffs. When you're talking about a 20-year-old pitcher that barely threw 100 innings for the first time in his professional career last year, you don't want to jump him to 200 innings the very next year, especially when you're thinking about the long term. Not only for the organization, but also for Julio, too. He's got a long career ahead of him if he is treated the right way. The Dodgers are not going to really put his career in jeopardy, or the future of having him in their rotation in jeopardy, just for 1 year. Now, you got a guy that probably is going to pitch 150 to 175 innings maximum, so there is a very good chance that they hold Julio back for extended spring training and then also maybe give him some breathers in the rotation when he does join them. So that opens the door for several pitchers, including Hyunjin Ryu. You got Ryu, you got Alex Wood, you got Ross Stripling, maybe, possibly, Brandon McCarthy. Brock Stewart's in the mix, although I believe his destiny is to start at AAA Oklahoma City. So you got guys that could be that fifth starter. And Alex Wood looked sharp in his first try at throwing to live hitters today, albeit a very sub-maximal situation, a term that Don Mattingly enjoyed using. So the Dodgers do have a pitching depth. And speaking of pitching depth, they have a lot of relief pitchers they can turn to. They did trade Vidal Nuño, who they acquired for Carlos Ruiz from the Seattle Mariners. They did trade him to the Baltimore Orioles yesterday to create a 40-man roster spot for Franklin Gutierrez, which was officially signed today. Franklin was here at camp and will be participating in the first full squad workouts tomorrow. So he is on the 40-man roster and will provide the Dodgers with a much-needed right-handed bat that was very good against lefties the last couple of years. You're talking about a guy that hit 280, had a slugging percentage of close to 500 last year against left-handed pitching, which brings us to the question of the Dodger bench. But before we do that, we heard from Dave Roberts as well about the Dodgers trying to change their fortunes against left-handed pitching by bringing in a guy like Franklin Gutierrez and hoping for better years from guys like Scott Van Slyke and Kike Hernandez.
We did. I think that, we kind of restructured our roster a little bit. But also, it was kind of a season where, the perfect storm with the left-handed pitching and guys had career lows against left-handed pitching, so I think that should balance itself out. But yeah, Yasmani made mechanical changes to his right-handed swing, and you still expect JT and obviously both the guys that we acquired certainly have shown a history to hit left-handed pitching. So I think going into the season, I like us against lefties or rights, doesn't really matter.
And that was Dave Roberts earlier today when asked about Franklin Gutierrez and asked about how he will help change the fortunes against lefties this year. And when we talk about the San Francisco Giants, remember last year they made that acquisition for Matt Moore, the lefty from the Tampa Bay Rays, and he completely dominated the Dodgers last year. So I think the Dodgers had that in mind, including everything else, because every other team out there would run out lefties against the Dodgers. And you saw a taste of that in the NLDS when Dusty Baker brought in not household names, but threw left-handed to face the Dodgers and was very successful, took them to the brink of elimination. So you look at the Dodger bench. I think the guys that obviously have a guaranteed spot are three guys in my mind. You're looking at Chase Utley. You're looking at Austin Barnes or another backup catcher. And you're looking at Andre Ethier. And I'm going with the assumption of Andrew Tolles being a starter. So you're looking at those three guys that have a guaranteed spot. Now, if the Dodgers decide to carry seven relievers, they will only have room for five bench players. If they go to eight relief pitchers, they will only have room for four bench players. So the Dodgers have some decisions to make when it comes to who will be on their bench. You got Chase Utley, who is limited defensively, but can give you a really good at-bat coming off the bench against one of those hard-throwing righties late in the game. So you got Utley, who can play first base, can play second base, and give you a quality pinch hit at-bat. Same with Ethier, except he plays the two-corner outfield spots and can do the same against a right-handed pitcher. Barnes is strictly there to be a backup, maybe a pinch runner in certain situations. So now you're looking at Franklin Gutierrez getting that fourth spot. He's got a guaranteed contract. He's going to be on this Dodger bench. So those are your four right now. Now, if the Dodgers went with eight relief pitchers, you're looking at guys named Scott Van Slyke, Kike Hernandez, Chris Taylor, and everybody's favorite last year, Trace Thompson, because of his last name. Everybody will be a little shocked if that happens with the, some of the names that would be at Oklahoma City. And I think one of them would be Scott Van Slyke. But Van Slyke needs to prove something. He has not had back-to-back good years for the Dodgers, and part of that reason is because of his wrist. He's had that wrist surgery last year that ended his season, and hopefully he can show the Dodgers he's healthy and could get back to being that guy that beat up on lefties. And he looked good today when he was taking batting practice, but it's batting practice, so he has to prove that in the game. So what I'm saying is some of these names that you are used to seeing in a major league uniform may start the season in Oklahoma City, and some of them may be named Van Slyke, Thompson, and Hernandez with the way the bench is set up right now. And it's interesting that Kike Hernandez will be going to play for Team Puerto Rico, knowing that you probably have to fight for a job and kind of prove to everybody that last year was an aberration for you and you could bounce back. Year three for Kike Hernandez. We talked about year three for Jock Peterson. This is year full three for Kike Hernandez, and interesting to see and talk to him about his decision to go play in the World Baseball Classic for Team Puerto Rico. Obviously, he has a tremendous amount of national pride, so I think that overrides everything in his mind. But also, too, knowing the situation on the Dodger bench, knowing they went out and got Franklin Gutierrez, and they do have Van Slyke and others, maybe he's decided to go to the World Baseball Classic to showcase his talents for other major league teams that may be scouting that tournament. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Trace Thompson is doing some baseball activity. We'll see how much he does tomorrow in the Dodgers' first full squad workout. But going back to the Dodger talent, this is what I was talking about, and it's a positive as a whole for the team, but also, too, there could be some hurt feelings with guys that expect to be in the major leagues, guys that have options, and they may start out in Oklahoma City because, A, the Dodgers have a lot of talent, B, it's not like these players are bad, but there's just no room for them. Guys like Van Slyke, Hernandez, Thompson, Chris Taylor, and let's not forget, too, Charlie Culberson, remember him? Yeah, the guy that hit the walk-off home run on Vin Scully's last game at Dodger Stadium. He's back in camp, fully shaven, shaved the beard, cut the hair, but it's still Charlie Culberson, who I felt last year should have been on that bench a lot more days than he was, but he was a good soldier and was a great chemistry guy for the Dodgers in Oklahoma City for some of those younger players, along with Rob Segedin, who's back in camp and is going to play for Team Italy in the World Baseball Classic. But I got to add Charlie Culberson's name to that list. Here's a guy that more than likely will be sent to Oklahoma City if the Dodgers decide to carry eight relief pitchers. And the only reason why I bring up Culberson is because he is a middle infielder, and the Dodgers don't have, if you look at the names that I listed, they don't have a backup middle infielder. The guy that would be that would be Logan Forsythe. He's a guy that would play second base. To give Justin Turner days off, he would play third base. But, I mean, who's going to give Logan Forsythe a day off? That would be Chase Utley. So having Logan Forsythe will make things easier for Dave Roberts to carry eight relief pitchers, but like I said, hurt feelings for some of the guys that may not make the roster coming out of spring training that are used to being on a major league team. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Have you digested everything that I just told you about the dynamics of the Dodger bench? There are very good chances that some of your favorite players may not be on this opening day roster. Not because they're not good players, but it's a numbers crunch. In this day and age in Major League Baseball, it seems like more and more teams are going with more relief pitchers, which goes back to my argument that if Rob Manfred wanted to improve the pace of play, he would eliminate the number of pitching changes that are occurring in baseball. It should be alarming to him that more teams are carrying 7 and 8 relief pitchers, which allows them to do more pitching changes within an inning, which lengthens the game. The games are 3.5 hours because there are more pitching changes, and the way the hitters are taught to approach these days is not the way they were taught to approach certain counts 10, 15 years ago. Players are more encouraged to take pitches, to swing for the fences more and be rewarded for that and not have any drawbacks to striking out 200 times. So, Mr. Commissioner, hello. And when you see more rosters with 8 relief pitchers, that should be an alarm bell. And I would not be opposed to limiting the number of pitching changes within an inning. I think that would create a very interesting dynamic to baseball that, for me personally, has gotten a little bit too much. The pitching changes have gotten to be a little too much, and we could thank Tony La Russa for starting that way back in 1988 when he started doing the matchup for every pitcher, every hitter. So I think Commissioner Rob Manfred should take a look at the way rosters are being constructed, and that may give him a clue on why games are taking so long. It's not the strike zone. It's not the intentional walks. It's not extra innings. It's the pitching changes. That'll do it for Nissan Dodger Talk tonight. Thanks for listening. We will be back with you tomorrow night at 8 o'clock after that UCLA show that comes on Tuesday nights. Taking your phone calls live from Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona. In case you missed our interview or any part of the show tonight, you could podcast that at am570lasports.com. Our interview tonight with the Dodger newest reliever, Sergio Romo. I strongly encourage you to check that out if you missed it or if you heard it the first time. It's a fun listen, so go back to hear Sergio Romo. Thanks to Ronnie Fascio for his help. We'll be back with you tomorrow live from Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona. Have a great night, everybody. See ya!